Yeah, I got all this paper on me, and I got all these haters on me. A pack of nine laters on me. Ain't nobody greater, homie. Yeah, my name is King Flizzle. You niggas know the dizzle. I'm fine and I'm chiseled. I don't know what the rhyme was, chiseled shit. What's up? I'm here. What's up, man? It's me, Tariq Nasheed. King Flex in the building. I'm a little hoarse right now. A little under the weather, but I'm here for the family. I'm here to make it do what it damn do. Glad to have y'all tuning in. We're doing a late night tap-in, ladies and gentlemen. We are doing a late night tap-in. And by the way, if you need $50,000 or more to grow your business, you need to check out the good people over there at Nexus Funding. They can do loan approvals within 24 to 48 hours and funding within 10 days or less. So y'all need to give them a call at 310-213-8416. That is Nexus Funding, ladies and gentlemen, and they got experts that will answer all your questions. So, family, we're going to do the late night vibe right now. We're late night vibing. It's very late, but I'm here. It's raining out here in Los Angeles, in California, and it's a nice mellow vibe, so I need y'all to kick back and chop up game with me, man. Let everybody know that we're live right now. What we're going to do, we're going to take that real quick commercial break, and we will be right back after these messages. Don't move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Family, are you tired of going from site to site looking for children's books? Go to drbirdiebooks.com, where we already have over 100 children's ebooks. 100 children's ebooks? That's going to cost a few hundred dollars. No, our ebooks start as low as $3.47 for a pack of 10 unique children's books. That's drbirdiebooks.com, Dr. Birdie Books.
It's tax time again, so let the experts at Clark Pro Taxes make filing your taxes easy for you. They can prepare your taxes in person or virtually in all 50 states. Just snap a picture of your documents and leave the rest up to them. Let Clark Pro Taxes prepare your personal and business taxes. Clark Pro Taxes will not stop until you get your maximum refund. Go to clarkprotaxes.com right now. Their calendars are open for the 2024 tax filing season. That's clarkprotaxes.com. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at clarkprotaxes. Check out Black Power for Kids. It's the first of its kind memory matching card learning experience for us by us. It's a great collection. It has a bunch of our black heroes and icons and greats, and you can teach your children while empowering them at the same time. It's fun, educational, and empowering. So go to blackpowerforkids.com to order your own learning experience today. That's blackpowerforkids.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends
on Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, we're here. And it's me, Tariq Nasheed. Thank you so much, everybody. We're here. We're in the building. Ready to chop up great game as we always do. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in on a late night, last minute chop up. We're in the building. I got the riders ready to ride. Shout out to all of y'all who stayed up. Some of you are working late night over at Amazon in the warehouse. Some of you ladies are doing an OnlyFans video to get your money right now. That's what you're doing up this late. There's some dudes up here who's doing some OnlyFans. I just can't put it on the ladies. There's some dudes out here doing something funny for a little piece of money. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about what's going on out there in Ghana with an anti-LGBT bill that they passed out there. We're going to talk about that in a minute. You know what? When I get to 1,000 people, I'll hop on camera. How about that? When I get to a thou wow, because we're almost there, and it's almost 11 o'clock in Los Angeles. Everybody retweet this, retweet the link to the broadcast to let everybody know that we're live right now. In Florida, it's almost 2 a.m. Shout out to Florida. Shout out to the truckers out there. But retweet this, put this on your Twitter, and then repost it on your Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. Naturally said she's doing laundry at 11 a.m. Yes, indeed. You got to get them stains up out of there. All right, we got over 1,000 people in here. Let me hop on camera. All right, boom, there it is. Look at that. All right. What's going on, guys? Oh, I got the real mellow, Mac-ish background right now. Got the root work up there with the candlelight. We got a whole different vibe here. It's almost 9 a.m. in South Africa. Shout out to South Africa. Now, y'all bear with me. My voice is just a tad bit janky. My voice is a tad bit janky, but I'm here. I am here. Yeah, somebody just mentioned something. That Nature Boy dude. There's a guy named Nature Boy. He's been around for a minute, and he has had these cults that he would take all around the country. I know he had them down there in Central or South America somewhere at one point. It was always some weird stuff going on with this Nature Boy dude. He was one of these dudes who would have these wives and he would bring people down to his cult compound and be smashing dudes' wives. When dudes get into that stuff. And plus, this dude, he had done some gay porn before. Is Nature Boy Haitian? Is he a Haitian dude? So he might be Haitian. I don't know. Yeah. The dude, he did. The dude was into gay porn and all types of stuff from what I've gathered about the guy. He's non-FBA. Yeah, it was some real funny stuff. It was down in Costa Rica. So we had some weird stuff going on with these women and these dudes, and some weird stuff going on with kids. There was a video where he made talking about how he walks around naked with his kids. And okay, all right, we're like, okay, this is a weird dude. So down in Georgia, right, they just gave that dude life. They just gave old boy life. He's Haitian, huh? Yeah, they gave old boy, was it Georgia or Florida? One of them, of course, they just gave the dude life without no parole. But they threw the whole book at dude. Man, they threw the book at dude. So you say, as a Haitian, you don't know dude. Man. Yeah, man, they threw the book at old dude. So, yeah, he got like Eligio. Yeah, Eligio Bishop. Yeah, yeah, they threw the book at Nature Boy, man. They gave dude life without parole. Damn. All right, but the dude's been doing real weird stuff for years, man. Oh, yeah, the background. Y'all like the background? It's a nice vibe. Yeah, this is the new vibe. Yeah, got the floating shells. So yeah, I've had my studio looking one way. I'm doing a lot of changes. Life in prison. Yeah, they were not playing. It was in Georgia, huh? Yeah, they got him, man. Wow. Wow. But yeah, the dude was just doing weird stuff, you know? The dude was doing weird stuff and then filming the weird stuff, and it was some crazy stuff going on with the women, and it was all over the place. It was all over the place. So, you know, we gotta watch these tethers. You know. What's up, ID intent? Stop hating on the decor here. You know, this is fly. This is some Mac-ish stuff. You know, you wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand a Mac-ish feng shui decor like this. This is real Mac-ish. It's looking real Mac-ish. Yeah. Now you wouldn't understand because you live in a studio apartment with 10 other tethers and y'all share the same vehicle to do Uber Eats runs. So you wouldn't understand. Yeah, the nature boy dude was down there. Dudes bring their chicks down there and he has to smash on the dude's chicks. And oh man, it was something else. It was something else, but you know, it is what it is. And speaking of LGBT stuff, I know some of you guys have heard about what's going on in Ghana. Ghana, ladies and gentlemen, Ghana, the parliament there, they passed a bill, and I think it has to be solidified by the president there. I don't know if it's the law yet, but the bill has been passed. I don't know if it's law yet there. I'm not sure how their political system works, but out there in Ghana, ladies and gentlemen, they passed a bill making identifying as LGBTQ illegal. And a lot of people are feeling a certain way about this on both sides. There's some people who are like, oh my God, this is horrible. There's some people saying, well, hey, this is a good thing. They're like, it imposes a 5-year jail term for forming or funding LGBT groups to replace prison. What's going to affect? So yeah, only if the president signs it into law. He said that he would do so if the majority of Ghanaians want him to do it. Gay sex is already against the law in Ghana. It already carries a 3-year prison sentence. Amnesty International warned that the bill poses significant threats to the fundamental rights and freedoms of LGBTQ. Activists fear that there will be witch hunts against members of the LGBTQ community. All right. So a lot of people have some mixed views on this. A lot of people have mixed views on it. My thing is with Ghana, are they saying, hey, we don't want any buck breaking going on over here? Are the people of Ghana saying, are the officials of Ghana saying, hey, you know what? You Western powers, you've interfered in our business long enough. You sit here and you drain our resources. You destabilize our economy here. You poison the water. You do all types of things to our society. Yet you want to fund a sexual agenda. You want to put a lot of money in that. And we're saying no. So should we be mad at them for coming at it from that angle? Right? Maybe they're saying no to buck breaking. Maybe they're saying, hey, you know, don't bring an agenda over here. Don't bring an agenda here. If you want to bring some resources, bring some resources to help us get back stable before Western powers destabilized us. How about utilizing some of those resources to, you know, help us get the right housing and get these roads the way they need to look? There's a lot of LGBT people in Ghana, though. It might be, again, a lot of Western influence. It's a lot of Western influence all over there. And they go around to these African countries trying to force basically a buck-breaking agenda on them, which is what they've been doing for centuries. So now what they're trying to do is get the victims of the buck-breaking to go along with it, to make it seem like it's some kind of new progressive civil rights movement. And we got to understand, family, I want you guys, if you have not seen the movie Buckbreaking, you got to see the movie Buckbreaking. We go so deep into this, and the movie Buckbreaking is available on Amazon, ladies and gentlemen. It's available on Amazon. You understand? So I can understand Ghana not wanting Western powers trying to infiltrate the societal norms there and try to push it as a civil rights agenda. You understand? Because we have to know what Western powers are doing. They're doing this stuff as a form of population control. This is how a lot of people look at it. A lot of this is done. And, you know, the Bill Gates and the people are running around here talking about splitting the world population in half, basically cutting down all the black people. They're not doing that in Europe. They're not doing that in Europe, but they go to these African countries and Caribbean countries and promote non-procreative sex. When they go to these countries promoting non-procreative sex, we got to know what the agenda is. You destabilize these economies and don't give them anything. You take all of their resources, but you want to go down there with a blank check so that all the dudes can lay up with each other. You see? And then they again try to pass it off as like some kind of progressive civil rights thing. It's not civil rights, because the civil rights movement was a movement for black people, and some of our civil rights were being violated by a lot of people who were white and LGBT, especially in Africa. Africa was being destabilized by white LGBT people. Cecil Rhodes was LGBT. Y'all look that up. When he was over there in Southern Africa and East Africa wreaking havoc. Yeah, Cecil Rhodes was LGBT. Also, in South Africa, the white supremacists went over there and they had a whole island over there, Bird Island, where they were taking these black boys over there and doing with them as they pleased. But even centuries ago, going back centuries, the Catholics would go in there and you know what their get down is. Go get the movie Buckbreaking. We go real deep into it. We break it down real heavy. So shout out to Ghana for saying no to Western powers. Now, some people think, okay, this is going to put a target on the backs of LGBT people. Nobody's co-signing that. Listen, and some of my LGBT listeners in here, if that's your get down, nobody should harm you. You shouldn't harm a person based on whatever their preference is. You shouldn't harm them. And the people over there who are LGBT, they shouldn't be harmed either. Let's be very clear. We don't want nobody to be harmed. We got some brothers and sisters who are LGBT who are riders. All right. We do have brothers and sisters who are LGBT who are riders. We don't want no harm being done to them. But in the same token, we don't want the Western powers and the white supremacists to come in with an agenda. All right. That's what we're saying. Everybody should be able to live how they live, but don't come in with no damn agenda where the target is to cut the population by promoting a certain lifestyle, you see. So we got to watch that part of the game, ladies and gentlemen, because see, they like to promote that stuff among black society so you can get rid of the warrior class. Because if you're promoting a sexual agenda to the men, you're going to alleviate the warrior class. You're not going to have a class of fighters if you have a bunch of dudes, you know, putting on cat suits and no disrespect to them, but you know, you're not going to have no riders. You dig? So they're always trying to alleviate the rider warrior class of us. So we got to watch the agenda. We got to watch it. We got to watch that. And speaking of agenda, shout out to everybody who's in here. The room is getting packed. Shout out to everybody in the room. The room is getting packed, ladies and gentlemen. We are in here ready to chop up great game as we always do. Hope you got your Rootwork deodorant at rootworkstyle.com. Rootworkstyle.com, ladies and gentlemen. See, the thing is, man, we're very much on code right now. We are extremely on code. And the dominant society, they're trying their best to slip in any agenda they can slip in. And they're one-trick ponies. The white supremacists are basically a bunch of one-trick ponies, man. All right, shout out to Christopher Johnson. People be sending me random amounts of money. This guy sent me $15.26. I don't know what that means. Y'all be sending money on Cash App, and the Cash App is KingFlex818, $KingFlex818. You guys be sending, I be getting random hits of money in the middle of the night. Like, Dante Jenkins sent you $11.50. Okay. Y'all, what y'all be doing? I don't know if y'all go down to the strip clubs and y'all send me whatever money's left. You go down to the strip club and trick your money off and then send me your change because I guess you feel bad. You went out there and tricked your money off on a stripper. You're like, let me send Tariq these last $11 to clear my conscience. Because you're probably, I think, getting a lap dance from a white stripper. Your ass was over at Spearmint Rhino and you done spent your rent money on a stripper named Blossom. She was rubbing them that flat booty and them big breasts on you. And now you got white girl hair on your clothes. You're at the ATM taking out your last $12. You know? Smelling like white girl perfume. Smell like the Britney Spears perfume. You know? Man, I was enjoying that white woman too much. Let me send Tariq this little piece of money to still let him know that I'm down. All right, y'all. And hey, man, if y'all want to send me $11, I appreciate it. Oh, I mean, I get random amounts, dude. Y'all don't understand how random. Dude, I get random ass amounts. It's never rounded off to the nearest tenths. It's always like $40.02. Like, what's the 2 cents for? All right. They're coming to the stage. It's Chloe. It's a hot redhead from Montana. But listen, we're very much on code out here. We're hella on code. And the energy that we have, when we get a movement going, when we get things going as Foundation of Black Americans with our Mojara spirit and energy, other people want to ride that wave. You notice that? Other people want to ride the wave. You know what I'm seeing now? Because we are showing pride in our foundational Black American culture, you have groups out here now trying to claim blackness now. They're trying to claim blackness heavy. You know? Hold on. You got groups out here trying to get on that wave. You know, we already know about Rachel Dolezal. But you got people out here trying to change their joints to black. Hold on. Hold on. Trying to find something real quick. Hold on, guys. Y'all bear with me. I'm trying to find something. I'm trying to find this story. This one guy was trying to change his racial classification to black. I cannot find it. I hate when I'm trying to find something at the last minute and I can't find it. But yeah, this guy, I want to say he was a white guy or something, and he's trying to change his racial category. And I knew this was going to start happening. You're going to start having people in the dominant society try to say, okay, these black folks are talking about reparations. Well, my meemaw was mixed. You know, they're about to start that. But look, I want y'all to see something. See, after the George Floyd situation, when we were turning up, you know, we had some of the corporate media and the corporate entities saying, okay, let's holler at black folks. Let's promote black-owned businesses. Let's give a shout out to the black-owned things out here. And family, I travel around the country. Excuse me. And I noticed right after the George Floyd thing, when a lot of black-owned businesses were finally getting shine, we would go to different cities and look up black-owned businesses, and we go, and I'm like, okay, this is cool, but there's something. This don't feel black-owned. You know how you can kind of feel certain things, family? Sometimes you can kind of feel. Excuse me. You can kind of feel the vibe, like, hey, this is all right. This is, you know, the food ain't bad or whatever, but this don't really feel black-owned. I remember going up there to the Bay, and it was a black-owned restaurant. The food was pretty decent, but it didn't feel black-owned. And come to find out, the owner was like an Asian chick. You dig? You can kind of feel when it ain't really black-owned. And a lot of people try to get on that black-owned vibe. They ride that wave. You know, they'll learn some of our cooking techniques and then cook food like us and then claim black owned. There's a restaurant out here that's owned by a white lady, but it's black owned. I forgot the name of it. I forgot the name of it. I got to ask my lady. But yeah, you go to some places and you kind of feel that it ain't really black owned. Now, look at this. I saw this. This was out here in California. Now, this woman was talking about, they're talking about this black-owned business. Hold on. Now, look at this. They're talking about a black-owned business. Now, look at this. Hold on. Y'all vibe with me on this for 1 minute. Let me get it sitting right so y'all can see the whole thing. All right. Now listen to this. Hold on and listen and look. Hold on.
A catering contract to celebrate Black History Month turned into a tough lesson for a black-owned bakery in San Jose. The owner of The Giving Pot.
Black-owned. All right. A black-owned bakery.
Eyes in the Willow Glen neighborhood said she got a phone call from a representative with Tesla last week for an order of 4,000 mini pies for a Black History Month event. It was a $16,000 deal.
Okay, all right.
The owner said both sides agreed on that price and exchanged an invoice for the pies to be delivered this week. Now, because of the rush order, Bonnie Rasateranera said she immediately asked her staff to work.
Okay, this is the black-owned staff? Okay, and that name.
Extra hours, bought the ingredients and packaging, and declined three other catering jobs. But 2 days after taking the Tesla job, she got a text message. The order was being canceled.
It felt like we didn't matter. Like, it felt like, okay, you know, like a...
Black-owned? Bohagni Restarianera? Okay.
Back to celebrate Black...
Fan out. But it's not like that. Like, you know... I had to tell my staff, change your plan.
The owner had not made all the pies yet, but she was out thousands of dollars preparing that order. NBC Bay Area reached out to Tesla, who didn't answer our questions, but did say it was in touch with the bakery to make things right. A catering
Okay. You see how this people be playing these games? Now, that woman, become a black owned. Now, based on her first last name, I think she's from Madagascar. Yeah, she's from way in the cut. That name, that's like a Madagascar name. No, she's not Caribbean. No. That name, I'm thinking this woman is from like Madagascar, which is, you know, they got a bunch of East Indians and those type of people there. You understand? But yeah, these people, when they see a bag, I want y'all to peep the game and see how much money was being thrown her way. That's a $16,000 order. You understand what I'm saying? There ain't no good and well that woman ain't black or not a foundational black American. You dig? But a lot of these people do that type of stuff. They get, when there's a bag in it, when we fight for something and turn up, when we get down, all of a sudden, when we get some doors open, I black, I make sweet potato pie, I make pies. The minute we kick a door open and there's some resources coming through, boy, these folks jump in the mix, claiming our heritage. Okay. Now, these people have some African ancestry, but they don't claim it. They only claim it when we kick the door in and try to make something happen. Is she from Morocco? I don't know, but that name is, because Morocco's a lot of Muslims, and that's not a Muslim name. I don't know, but the name is from Madagascar too. But man, a lot of folks try to jump on that bandwagon. You see what I'm saying? Because now that we have a strong cultural pride movement and we've shown value in our lineage and who we are as foundational Black Americans, people want to kind of ride that wave. Because people understand the value, but they know that now we see the value. You see? They see that we understand the value now. It's a real heavy thing. And now that we have a major delineation movement going, and we're checking people, and we're checking people's paperwork, and we're letting people know that we're not going to go for any okey-doke behavior, folks are coming clean on a lot of stuff. People are starting to come clean. Now, this woman right here, I played this before. I'm going to play this again. This woman right here is an African woman living in the UK. And she's saying what we've been saying. And I'm glad that people are kind of finally fessing up to what we've been saying. Now, listen to this. Sometimes some of these people stop playing games and they just keep it 100 and be honest about what the deal is. Now, listen to this. This is the Pan-Africanism, and she's telling the truth about it. Hold on.
Dear Black Americans, can we just give up on this whole Pan-African, one love, brotherhood of man and sisterhood and all this, we are one and all that? Listen, let me tell you the reality on the ground, yeah? The average Ghanaian wants to go where you've come from. Let me tell you, that is a fact. I've worked for the British High Commission.
100% facts. Facts. 100%. I agree.
Before, for many years, I've seen Ghanaians come in with documents showing they've sold their land, taxes, houses, even farmland, just to raise the money to get a visa to go to the UK. All this preaching about Malcolm X and what's the other one? Marcus Garvey, and we are all one. Sister, brother, they're not interested in that. Let me teach you chi today. Yehiensika. Yehiensika. We need money. Because the average Ghanaian needs money to chop, to eat, to pay school fees, to open up his kiosk every morning to sell. The reality on the ground is life is hard in Ghana. They all want that life that you don't want. I'm a prime example. It's like we've crossed lives. We in the West, we want to come to Africa to enjoy because we're done with there. We've been there, done it, seen it. They also want to go there to do it, see it, done it there, to get money, to build houses, to have a better future. Some Ghanaians hate Ghana. Let me tell you, for I know Ghana.
Real talk. Come on, she's telling the truth.
Ghanaians that say they hate Ghana for everything that it stands for. So please, all this coming in like you are the black savior to come and
teach. She threw some hate on it. You guys are the black savior. So she threw some of that tether hate on it. But she's being honest about her hate, though. She's still being honest about her tether hate. Like, oh, you guys are being the saviors. Yeah, because this is really rooted in a lot of jealousy of foundational black Americans, but she's being honest about her jealousy.
Africans about pride and self-worth and knowing that you're an African and coming to teach and preach. Sister, brother, save your breath. They're not interested. They don't even know what you're talking about. Because for them, it's survival. It's survival. Every day in this Africa is a survival. Light off, no water, living conditions. And you're here coming to talk about Marcus Garvey. That's not going to feed anyone here. If you want to come and embrace Africa with all your beads and all your braids and your dreadlocks and your dashiki, and you want to have that true African experience, wonderful. But leave the Africans alone to fight for their lives and get on with their lives. The preaching is enough, please.
Okay, I don't know who's preaching. I don't know who the people are preaching and all of that. And we're not doing that on a massive level. But we're on that vibe too. We already know. We've been saying this. And we're not really trying to rush over there. And the thing is, what she's saying is real, but it's rooted in a lot of jealousy, because the thing is, when foundational black Americans go over there, we're not going over there preaching to anybody. We go over there and start getting things popping, and she feels a certain way about that. It sounds like she's talking about Umar. That's Umar with the dashiki and all of that and the beads going over there and talking about Marcus Garvey. Yeah, she sounds like she's talking about Umar. Yeah? Because, yeah, we're not talking like that. We're talking about building our foundational black American empowerment zones. And look, we're just not trying to rush over there like that. We're not rushing. We got a movement over here. We're comfortable where we are. We're dealing with white supremacy face to face. They're dealing with white supremacy too, but they don't realize it. You understand? And yeah, we are very fully aware that they're trying to get the hell out of there. And we're just not on this vibe where we're trying to hold hands and save everybody. We're not disrespecting anybody. We want the best for people. And we want justice for people globally. But, you know, we have come to the realization that we as foundational black Americans, we're on our own with this thing. We got to do the heavy lifting, and a lot of folks who come over in large numbers, they're not really trying to be allies. That's the long and short of it. So we ain't tripping, and we're not trying to go over there like that. We're not. Now, if we were doing business, if we were trying to get like a secondary dual citizenship spot where we can do international business, that would be nice. But y'all, they're not on that. And I've said that many times. They're not on that. And that's fine. But we're not going to let them come over and shame us like, hey, come on, we're black, nigga. You're supposed to give me money. No. No, no, no. You handle your business. Handle your business. You see? And this is no disrespect to our brothers and sisters in the diaspora, but that lady is telling the truth. There's a the people over there, they look at us as a come up. Yeah? They look at us as a come up. When we go over there, we got to have a bag. And when they come over here, we got to share a bag. All right, when they come over here, just like that woman from Madagascar or wherever she's from, these people don't identify as black, but the minute we get something going on, the minute we get something popping, oh, black business, I sell peach cobbler, peach cobbler, black business, peach cobbler. Now you selling some some tether peach cobbler and getting huge orders as a black-owned business. You understand? Black family. I tell the FBA family all the time, y'all better learn how to market your heritage to people. You understand? Black family. FBA family, listen. I want y'all to value your damn culture. Because when you don't value it, they play this little mind game where you devalue yourself and then everybody else is capitalizing on your culture. Foundational Black Americans, they capitalize off our dancing, our dress, the way we cook food, our style. They capitalize off of it. All you girls out here and all you brothers out here who can cook good, y'all need to have restaurants opened up. Y'all get y'all version of the turkey leg hut going on. Y'all need to stop playing your mama's recipe. Go in and take that and go get you an S Corp. And go ahead and get you a little restaurant and get you a food truck or something. Make your mama's wings in a food truck. And market it as an FBA product. You dig? Your mama and your grandma know how to make them good ass sweet potato pies and peach cobbler? Sell them. Market them. Hey, this is good old, authentically Southern foundational Black American pies. Family, they will scoop them things up left and right. Family, I want y'all to value your foundational Black American culture. There's so much value in it. Everybody sees the value in it, but you. You understand what I'm saying, family? There's value in your culture. We got to be very proud of our foundational Black American culture. We have a God spirit, that Mojara, that everybody knows about. They know about our Mojara spirit. We just have to put a name on it. See, the thing is, you got to start naming things. Just like hip-hop. Hip-hop was something that was going on for a decade and nobody had a name for it. There wasn't a name for it. They knew it was something that was unique to the people in the Bronx. The rhyming, the breaking, and the DJing, and the b-boying, and all of that. They knew that it was something. They just didn't have a name for it. They didn't get a name for hip-hop to 1982. That's when the word hip-hop became an encapsulation for what the culture was. You dig? So we have to name things. We have to put names on them so that we can better define them. You understand? And that's the first sign of power. And our culture is foundational Black Americans. People study our culture all the time. They study our culture and they know what it is and they value it secretly. They know. That's why they watch what we do all the time. That's why they're always watching what we do. You understand? Now, family, look at this. Let me show y'all something. Speaking of culture, let me tell you, I practice what I preach. We got the Root Work deodorant. All right? We got the Root Work deodorant, which is based on foundational Black American culture. On Amazon, we're top sellers on Amazon. This is Root Work on Amazon. You see right here, 100 bought in the past month, 300 bought in the past month. All right, on Amazon. This is Amazon. So, you know, people are buying this stuff by the droves, and a lot of white people buying this stuff. You know, a lot of white people buy the Root Work deodorant. You understand? We sell them things. We're selling them on Amazon like crazy. We're selling them on our website like crazy. And it's a bunch of white people who get it because they know. They understand. They know what Root Work is because they would go to Black Root Workers. You understand what I'm saying? They would go to Black Root Workers. And it's on. See, we got this thing where we got punked into saying, hey, we can't say black. Damn that. We got punked for years. We let people punk us out and we start playing around with the words. Well, it's a minority. Well, I own a people of color business. Well, I own a disenfranchised business for disenfranchised peoples. No, black dude, black. You dig? It's black, dude. Yeah, Biloxi Blueberry. Yes, indeed. Dude, man, I am so proud of our foundational Black American heritage. Man, we have a phenomenal heritage. Our heritage and culture is the most studied and the most emulated. I wallow in the pride of that, dude. I wouldn't disrespect our ancestors by not bigging them up. That's why Root Work, boy, we're proudly black. Not only proudly black, this is a foundational Black American product. You dig? This is a foundational Black American product coming out of foundational Black American culture of Root Work. That's something that we were doing and people respect it. Yeah, man, y'all, I don't want to hear that black and brown. We got to mix our shit. We either, well, minority, we're just trying to do something for the minority community. We black and brown. Man, cut that nonsense out. We're foundational Black Americans. Be proud about that. Our culture is deeply rooted. Our ancestors were phenomenal, and we have to big up these ancestors, give them the love and the respect and praise that they deserve, big them up all the time, and soak in and carry out the game that they gave us. They gave us some great game, you see? And listen, the movement of us delineating and standing on our FBA business, it is spreading. As you see, it's very mainstream. Reparations is the main topic out here. Everybody's discussing it. That came from the grassroots. That came from the grassroots. That did not come from the top. This nationwide conversation about reparations came from you. That came from you, you in the grassroots, standing on business and not being afraid. It don't take everybody. It just takes a critical mass of people to be on the right vibe and to be codified, and then everybody else will fall in place. So now we have a lot of people who are in Hollywood, and athletes are representing. They're watching the grassroots and they are signal boosting the message. You dig? Our new movie, Microphone Check, one of the executive producers is Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is one of the executive producers of it. You understand? This is heavy. When we do events at the museum, we have celebrities come down. Tichina Arnold was just there. We had Vivica there. We had so many phenomenal people coming in and out of the museum. And you know what? The next event we have in, I think we're going to have the Coon Train Awards next. I think that should be the next one. And y'all got to come and be the judges, because people have been asking for Plantation Celebration Awards, because we had one years ago at a comedy spot and it was great. And people really had a good time. And we're going to have another one. And the reason why we haven't had a Coon Train Award is because there's so many Sambos out here now. We're trying to figure out how to compartmentalize all the categories. It's so many categories now. Because now we're gonna have to put a lot of the Democrats on the coon train. And y'all give me some ideas so we can have that we can have for the Coon Train Awards. I know we're gonna have Bedwinch of the Year, the Democratic Coon, a Coon Ensemble, Hip Hop Coons, who was cooning in hip hop. You know? Oh, somebody said Jason Whitlock. Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna have the Coon Train Awards. Do online. I'm thinking about streaming it live because we streamed it live last time. So I'm thinking about doing that again. But going back to what I'm saying, a lot of people are signal boosting the message of the grassroots. And what's happening is that when a lot of Black people who have mainstream accessibility, when they start parroting the words of the grassroots, the dominant society, they're going to try to punish them low-key. Like with Terrence Howard. Did y'all see what went down with Terrence Howard? Terrence Howard, he's talking like us. And he's been very outspoken about a lot of stuff going on in Hollywood. Terrence Howard, and I like Terrence Howard. He's a phenomenal actor. So Terrence Howard, he said this. He was hit with a nearly $1 million judgment after saying it's immoral to tax descendants of slaves. Wow. So he's talking like us. He's like, we're descendants of slaves and you're trying to tax us? So I guess they tried to make an example out of him. And threw a judgment on him. You see? Just like they were doing with Ice Cube. Ice Cube was, you know, kind of parroting the words of the grassroots. And, you know, they tried to get at Ice Cube a little bit. You know, so when a lot of people are using our words and representing for the grassroots, they call themselves punishing them. You know? So, but shout out to Terrence Howard. I hope he, him and his lawyer can get that rectified. And speaking of reparations, some of these liberal allies that Black people think they have, you had Rob Snyder, who's a comedian actor, who you think is liberal, but he was over there at one of these low-key suspected alt-right Turning Point USA events talking down on reparations. Let me play this clip of Rob Snyder. This is Rob Snyder, comedian. Hold on. Talking about reparations. Talking against it. Using these same old goofy talking points. All right, now listen to this. These are talking points from these right-wing think tanks. Now listen to Rob Snyder. Now this guy was supposed to be some kind of liberal. He's over there at Turning Points USA. Hold on.
In California, it has gone out of committee to approve slave reparations to be paid to people who were never slaves, to be paid for by people who never owned slaves in a state that never had slaves. That's like...
Hold on, he's about to curse, and I don't want to play that.
Paying child support for a child you never had to a woman.
Okay, let me fast forward that. Okay, to a woman you never banged.
In California.
Okay. So, let me play that again. Hold on.
California, it has gone out of committee to approve slave reparations. To be paid to people who were never slaves, to be paid for by people who never owned slaves, in a state that never had slaves.
Okay, boy, let me break that talking point down. All right. All right. So it's going to be paid to people who were never slaves. Rob Snyder is Filipino and Jewish. Rob Snyder, he's Filipino and Jewish. He's not going to say anything like that to the Jewish community. He's not going to say they're getting money. These descendants of Holocaust victims are getting money and they ain't never been thrown in a concentration camp. You're not going to say that. Yeah, the descendants who are getting money for the Holocaust, they weren't thrown in gas chambers, but they're getting money. And again, this guy is Filipino and Jewish. And remember, the Philippines, there was a black man, Foundation of Black American, David Fagan, who defected from the U.S. Army to teach the Filipinos guerrilla warfare because the U.S. government was damn near committing a genocide against them. They went over there to the Philippines, damn near wiping the Filipinos out. And it was a Foundation of Black American, David Fagan out of Florida, who said, hey, this ain't cool. And he defected from the U.S. Army and joined the Filipinos and started guerrilla warfare groups over there to help them stay alive. You dig? And then these people turn around and have utter disrespect for us. And you see why we ain't on this immigration kumbaya. These disrespectful ass people who we keep saving and their family keeps fleeing. You come over here and start talking about what we shouldn't get. Talking about we weren't slaves. We're the descendants of slaves, and the legacy of not being paid has been passed down generationally. Talking about people who didn't own slaves. The United States government is on the hook. Slavery was solidified by the United States government. That's who we're talking to. And if you are part of that government, that includes you. The United States government had us enslaved. We're not playing that, well, that guy didn't own a slave and that guy didn't own a slave. The entire economy was based off of slave labor, which is foundational Black Americans. The entire economy was based on that. We were literally the foundation of the entire economy. The banks came up because of the slave trade. The railroad systems were created because of the slave trade by slaves, by enslaved foundational Black Americans to take and transport the raw materials up to the north and out to the west and all of these places to go to the factories and to take all over the country. The modern medical industry, modern insurance was because of us. They were insuring enslaved Black people. Just all across the board, all of these industries were born out of our subjugation. These military schools that were built in the South and in the North too, they were designed to keep an eye on us, to keep us contained. These militia groups, which became modern police, that was born out of keeping us subjugated. Yes, the insurance companies, Lloyd's of London, all of them insurance companies were born out of our subjugation. You understand? Every aspect of this society was benefiting off of the labor that we were providing. These people cannot play this whole game. Well, I didn't own a slave. Well, you were over here benefiting from slavery. You were getting secondary, direct, and other indirect gains from it. Because slavery was the main event. It wasn't just a stain on society. Slavery and the enslavement and the subjugation of foundational Black Americans was the main event. I was the main money maker. That's the only reason this nation got so powerful, that they didn't pay us. You had all of this free labor and just wealth compounding on top of each other, and you don't have to pay the people who's doing the work. That's why all of this wealth got so compounded and big. Ding. That's why the nation was able to get built to a level where people can flee from their homelands and come up. So we're not going to play that game about we didn't own a slave. Don't matter. You benefited from it. And also this whole thing where California wasn't a slave state. Let's get off that. Number one, California was acquired by money from slavery. It was brought into the Union of the United States, and the United States was built on slavery, and the money used to get California was built was slave money. Also, in California, California absolutely had slavery going on. When there were black people escaping to California, they had the Fugitive Slave Act that would bring them back. They honored the Fugitive Slave Act here in California. You had black people who were brought in by their slave owners doing work out here, and the slave owners were doing this stuff openly, and the officials just looked the other way. There was absolutely slavery in California. It was informal. They didn't make it a quote-unquote slave state because they didn't want all of the rich slave owners coming out here getting the prime land. They didn't want them to have a monopoly on everything like they had back east. So they allowed slavery to be informal here. You see? So don't let these people run that game. Slavery was alive and well out here. That's why they had cases like Biddy Mason. She was out here going to court trying to get her freedom. That's why they don't like talking about Biddy Mason, one of the most important people of Los Angeles and California. They don't like talking about her because then you got to bring up the fact that the woman was in court in California trying to get out of damn slavery. You see? So we're not letting these people try to talk us down with these same lame, goofy talking points. We're not doing that. We're not going to let them do that. We're not going to let them run them same lame talking points on us. We're standing on business. We're standing 10 toes down. And we're going to keep stumping for the reparations and anti-black hate crime bills and other tangibles that we're supposed to get. We're not going back down, and we are bathed and soaked in the spirit of Mojara, which is the foundational Black American God, spirit, and energy that we have that's very unique to us. You better recognize how thorough and unique you are as a people, family. Yes, respect to FBA culture, ladies and gentlemen. Man, I'm very thankful for my ancestors for surviving slavery. Family, y'all better praise your ancestors. Family, y'all don't understand how much I give praise and props to the ancestors. I let them guide me. And that's why I like going places that's ancestor heavy. Going to southern places. That's why I like New Orleans a lot. New Orleans, I get a real, I can feel the ancestors all over New Orleans. That ancestral energy is very heavy down there. You understand? I love being around that ancestral energy. You can feel it. It's heavy. That's why when we go to them plantations down there, when I took my family down to the plantations, I'm feeling the empowerment spirit of our ancestors. My mom and them, boy, the spirit was a little overwhelming. It was really getting to them. My lady and my mother, yeah, that spirit was real overwhelming. You can really, really sense it if you come from that lineage. You dig? Yeah, we got to gatekeep our history and represent it. And? Oh, yeah, your California, Black California history is heavy. Man, look, go to Allensworth. I talked about Allensworth before. Allensworth is was a small little black community built by Foundation of Black Americans after slavery. Allensworth is right outside Bakersville. And these black folks built a nice little small community, sturdy houses, a church, a hotel, a little hotel there. And, you know, the white supremacists did the old sabotaging the water supply. You know, they always do little stuff to sabotage us. Yeah, people have to understand it's the movement is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual vibe. The movement is also spiritual. It's a spiritual, economic, social, cultural movement. All of those things have to be in place. When all of those things are in place, man, you become unstoppable. You dig? That's what the dominant society, that's why they feel a certain way about the movement right now. Because they don't know what to do. They don't know, because the great thing about the delineation movement and the Foundation of Black American movement and our lineage movement and the reparations movement, the great thing about it is that it is leaderless. See, there is no leader. The code is the leader. The code is the leader. So that's the great thing about it. We don't have people jumping up, hey, I'm the leader of this. Because when people do that, you know, that you get away from them when people run around here talking about they're the leaders. And that's the great thing. There is no leader. What we're doing is following logic. We're just doing what's logic. That's all you got to do. You don't need no person to act as a leader. Just follow the logic. Just do what's logical. And we're doing things from a logical perspective. You did? We're doing things in a very logical sense. But anyway, man, let me get up out of here. It's been real before I get hoarse because my throat is a little janky still. But anyway, man, y'all go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. Get this book. Y'all better get this book for your babies, man. Get this book for your kids. You did? Because you need to get the kids early learning the game and understanding the power of their lineage. Get these kids early. Hidden History from A to Z. Very good book for kids. Also, family, that root work deodorant. It has that High John the Conqueror root in it. It has the High John the Conqueror root. That was a very powerful root that Foundation of Black Americans used for spiritual strength and guidance. And they would infuse that in certain things. So we're tapping back into that. You understand? So get your root work deodorant at rootworkstyle.com, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, guys, tune in this Sunday. Y'all subscribe to this channel. I'll be back on Sunday chopping up some more game, man. Y'all have a great night. Papi Akute and Lola Vuve to the family. Peace.